Super Yacht Radio, making you feel good all day long.
And welcome back to Super Yacht Radio. So continuing with some marvelous foods from around the world, thanks to Super Yacht Foodie, we are traveling next to Finland to find out more about what I see as one of the most culturally ubiquitous with Scandinavia, and it's talking about licorice. And to join us today, I have Timo Nisola. Timo, lovely to have you. As we were chatting beforehand, I will let you polish up my Finnish as we go through this. But I'm very looking forward to finding out a lot more about licorice this afternoon.
If I can help, I gladly do that.
Lovely. So you are based in the middle of Finland, which is actually where the name of the company comes from. Can you tell us where we are?
Yeah, we are about 150 kilometers from Helsinki, a little bit east. So it's quite near to our capital.
Lovely. And it's Kovalan Lakritsi.
Right.
The name of the company. But it has a very long history. I mean, it was established, if I'm right, almost over a century ago.
Yeah, it's over because it's founded in 1906.
Wow.
In Viborg, which is now on the Russian side of the border. But it used to be a soft drink company. Then we got a little bit problem with Russians in the 40s. So the company moved away from Viborg in two cities. One in which is Lappeenranta, which is now next to border, and another one to West Coast, to make sure that if there comes a big problems, then you have a factory also there. And in 1945, the company moved to Kouvola city and built up a new factory there. But sadly, the company didn't get permit to buy raw material for making soft drinks, because you know there was a lack of raw material. So I suppose the big boys and big girls took all the permits for that, but government were so kind that they gave the company permit to buy a little amount of raw material for making licorice. And after war, everybody started to make whatever they can. So the company started to making licorice in 1945. And we have done it since. And in 17th, you know, the company dropped out all the soft drink things, because I suppose in 17th, big companies took over the markets. So there was no room for small ones.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, fascinating. And, you know, I was doing a little bit of research before we began, and licorice is just an amazing root. I had no idea that the history of it, I mean, we're going back to Chinese and Indian and Egyptian civilizations. It's actually not just Scandinavian, I discovered.
Yeah, it's strange product, because it grows in every place where there's problems. You know, Syria, Afghanistan, Iran, China is the biggest producer of licorice, but they only export 20% of it, and 80% they use. The biggest licorice root user is medicine industry.
Huh.
And secondly, all you know, wrinkle creams, mostly 99% of those, they use licorice there. So cosmetic industry is second biggest user of licorice root, and third is tobacco industry. And after that is, you know, our kind of grocery or that kind of industry. But the story is really, really interesting, because licorice is maybe one of the oldest medicine herbs in the world. It has been used already 6,000 years. And when they found out Tutankhamun tomb, Tutankhamun was buried together with licorice root. Wow. Because they made this kind of special drink for pharaohs, the healthiest drink, where they put licorice on it. And of course, when they go to beyond, they needed to have it with them. So when they arrive there, so they can start the day with having this healthy drink. And if we can a little bit further, Napoleon Bonaparte was addicted to licorice. Also, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, and the funny guy, Hannibal the Cannibal. And also Phoenicians, they use licorice because, and also they give that to the soldiers because they can march better and they calm their nerves and stomach. So that's, you know, there has been over 3,000 books about Napoleon, and most of those, there is something about licorice.
So all it the was, way in times. It's interesting yeah. to say that, though, about digestive things, because it is one of the big things that when I was looking up, you know, good uses and health reasons for licorice, digestion, decreasing inflammation. I think we'd all kind of know it for cough medicines because, you know, it would be a common kind of ingredient in that.
Yeah, that's and then, you know, in somebody in Pontefract, England, suddenly mixed up with wheat powder and sugar together with in 1766 and figure out that, oh, Lord, this is good as a candy. So the story became as a candy.
Oh,
and it's strange. But it's a little bit like, you know, Coca-Cola, that accidentally somebody put something together and figure out that this is nice.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of good benefits, the licorice itself.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, and even, you know, from digestion down to helping menopause, anything that is involved with inflammation, it's really helpful. And your licorice, because that's the other thing, I think people, the term black licorice is what I kind of associate with things like all sorts and stuff. But that's actually made with anise, isn't it? Which is...
Yeah, and you know, don't talk at the same day. The real licorice and all sorts. It's
exactly.
Different.
It's different. That's my point.
Yeah, there's only same thing is the black color in one product. But there's a differences. And always there's, you know, this salty licorice, which, you know, there's only a few people in the world who like it. Dutch, Scandinavian, and I don't know. There's becoming Germans who like it, but people who really hate it, so they think that every black one is like that, and it is not. So we make also this salty licorice, but that's different thing. But I think 99% of our licorice is, you know, this sweet licorice.
Lovely. And it, when you in your factory, you seem to make loads of different kind of forms of it. What's the process of making licorice?
Yeah, the licorice process is like we do. We are not that kind of, you know, big company where there comes raw material on the left door and on the right door they're coming out. So everything runs like it. We do it totally traditional way. So we have an open cooking pot with about 1,300 kilos. And there comes molasses, glucose syrup, wheat powder, and of course this licorice. And we cook it in 3 hours. Then we drop it down and we extrude it in about 1.2 meter long stripes. And then we put those on a rack and we keep those overnight in oven. And next morning we pack it or we make it, we might do pipes, and that's all handwork. But we pack it and we ship it because we don't warehouse at all, because we are no museum. Museum, they keep products there, but we deliver everything out. That's why our freshness is, you know, taste is number one, but freshness is absolutely number two. So that's, we have a really different product that nobody else has.
I was going to say, I'd imagine then the texture of it is different, because I associate licorice being quite hard and chewy. But
yeah, not our.
Probably because, you know, we actually don't get to try the conventional ones you know, months and months and months.
I have to ship it to you some samples, then you know what is the best of the best.
I would love that, actually. I'm semi-convinced, but I haven't yet had licorice. I'd go, I'll have more of that. So,
yeah, but it is strange, especially if you know, I can say that I have been owning this company now for 15 years, and I have been seeing about, let's say, about 100,000 people. 99,995 says this is the best. And then there are five others. One who has celiacia who can't eat it. So then there's two Asian people who don't like it at all. And then there's one who just hates it. So that's my perspective of that. And if you have tasted some licorice, it's not say that because everybody has their own, you know, texture and taste. And we have been chosen three times as the best licorice manufacturer by Lux Life magazine, wonderful, England. And that's what we are going to do. We are going to be the number one in the world. We are not going to be the biggest, but we are just the best. That's
And can I just say, I also love there's a philanthropic side as well, that you get involved in helping kind of people for fundraising.
Yeah, you know, it is time to time when you know, you see the word, it's a little bit annoying. So then you think that we need to do something against this all bad feeling. Like, you know, when Russian decided that they need to go to Ukraine, so we created within a week that we have a campaign that from Wednesday to Sunday, our website sales 100% goes to UNICEF for Ukrainian families. And that was a little bit success because we got in about 5,000 orders. And then on Monday, we donated to UNICEF €126,000.
Oh my God.
So that was quite nice thing. And when COVID started a little bit earlier, it was also annoying. So I decided that we need to do something fun. And then I decided that we are going to do a Guinness World Record. And we figure out what kind of records has not done or has done on. Then we decided that we are going to make the biggest candy bag in the world. And I decided that we make so big that not some Swede is not going to go next week and doing bigger than. And the bag was 380 kilos.
Oh my gosh, how did you make the bag?
that was because it's not so easy that to keep that kind of bag that it's not collapsing down. So we used the base because there comes sugar and wheat powder is coming in 1,000 kilo bags. So we got based on that, and then we put our bag, you know, the outside outfit of that. And it was quite fun. And you know, Guinness has that kind of rule that if you have a food attempt, so you need to donate all the food, not waste. So there was a COVID time, and we have in one bag 830 kilos of licorice. So I figured out that, okay, if we ship it to some hospital, they are going to die everybody there because it's corona time. And then I saw that there was in Kouvola city, there was one people moving more out than in on that. And so I decided that we are going to change that. So we decided so that we sell those 800 kilo licorice in one shop out from consumers, and we get the first money for that. We buy a little house, not house, but, you know, flat, 25 square meter flat for somebody. And we make a campaign for all over the Finland that somebody who is moving to Kouvola, we are going to give him a work and a own flat. And that we what we did, there come a guy who was 27 years old, never been working. He was already retired. So we hired the guy and we get him a job and he get his own home.
Wow.
So that was quite nice.
That sounds marvelous. And I'm sure like for the whole company, it's great. It's a great team feeling to be part of something that makes a difference as well.
Yeah, you know, it's we are like a small family. There's about 40 people. We are not the, you know, the big boys, but we make about 1 million kilo of licorice per year. And we are that kind of happy family. And somebody, sometimes, you know, family has some issues and then you are laughing again. And that's life.
Yeah, you work it out.
Yep.
Well, Timo, it was a pleasure to catch up with you this afternoon. I am definitely a lot more convinced about licorice and have learned quite a few things I didn't know before. It is, of course, available on the Superyacht Foodie platform, which you have joined this year, which is wonderful. And I'm not exactly sure which versions of licorice are available, but I'm sure that if you want to find out more, you can contact Tita and her team at Superyacht Foodie and see it on Instagram and Facebook. And for those that want to learn more a bit more directly, where would they go to have a look?
We are going to have another page also for foreigners, but we are having kouvolanlakritsi.fi. It's not easy. That's why we are going to open in a while bestlicoriceoftheworld.com.
That
it's not already open, but it's going to be
wonderful. And if you're listening to this, we will also have the link up on our social media, so and our podcast. Anyway, it was such a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining us. And to all of you, wherever you are, we wish you the very best.
Does provisioning make you moody? Well, look no further than Superyacht Foodie. We source and test the finest food and drink, so when you order, you don't have to think. Check out the Superyacht Foodie Instagram feed if gourmet inspiration is what you need. We don't sell the products directly to you. We work with all the provisioners you already knew. Contact your favourite provisioner or agent if you want the finest ingredients sent. We will connect you with the suppliers directly who will fulfil your orders 100% correctly. Email info@superyachtfoodie.com if you want to know where the best ingredients are from. Follow Superyacht Foodie on Insta and Facebook and tag us to share the exquisite meals you cook. Superyacht Foodie, rediscover your passion for provisioning.
You are listening to Superyacht Radio.